Tracking now.
I did go back to Columbia.
I know.
I said I was an idiot. I was wrong.
You're good. You know I love y'all, man. Yeah. Well, shit. Sure. Said I was going to be the first coach fired last year, man. So. And he caught it. I don't know. Yeah, my wife's like, this is great. We went to home and we already sold the house. I'm like, what do you mean? It hasn't even been announced yet. Y'all doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Good. I saw it, man. I use it with the team today, fellas. Like, life comes at you fast. They were ready to run me out last year.
Not anymore.
Well, that's a scary thing. Like, Shane and I, we do the show, and it's like we kind of hope no one's watching. But you want it to get popular, and then we say so much dumb stuff that comes back on us. But at least we own up to it. We say a lot of dumb stuff, but then we're sitting here with Coach Shane.
Yeah. Well, y'all do a great job and have a great following, so people like watching you because you're genuine and you are who you are, which people appreciate.
Well, I've never met an ugly Shane either, so there's
exactly
that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh man, well, no, I do appreciate you coming over. And you know, one of the wildest seasons last year, it felt like 24 was just pure chaos, but the more we're breaking down 25, I've never seen so much parity in this league that you made the comment in the small room over there, any given Saturday. So what kind of pressure, I don't want to say pressure, but what's the attitude of that locker room going into this season?
Yeah, you're exactly right. The parity, like you look around a lot of times in this league, and I've been around the SEC for a while, you look at it and you say, okay, you know, like, one of those two or three teams, they're going to win this whole league. And there's some teams that you guys will pick certainly at the top, but I think anybody can win this league. And that's really cool with the parity. I think the message for our guys is just, we did a lot of really good things in 24, understanding all the hard work that went into 2024, that it doesn't just happen, that, because we'll be picked a little bit higher this year because we got a lot of good players coming back, our quarterback's coming back, but that doesn't mean anything once you start playing the games. And I've been proud of our players because there's still an edge about themselves that they're upset about the way last season ended, that we didn't get in the playoff and that we fell 2 points short, and very determined to take things farther in 25 and have the season that we all want.
Well, speaking of the playoff, I mean, is there any more reason that you can look at for it to be broken that you go to Clemson and whoop them on their field and they get to go and South Carolina does it? I mean, make that make sense.
Well, they won their conference, so that's how they get
in. They didn't win their state.
They didn't win the state. The part that bothered me about that, and you guys remember this, is leading up to that week, I mean, there was, in so many ways, the eyes of college football were on Clemson, South Carolina, because so many people thought whoever wins this game is going to really have a strong argument to get in the playoff. And we as a team felt like, look, I know we lost to Ole Miss and Alabama head-to-head, and we lost to LSU at home, but we've won six in a row. There's not a hotter team in the country. We go into Clemson and beat the potential ACC champion on their field. Like, that's got to be... They wanted to talk about data points. That's got to be a pretty freaking strong data point if you do that. And the part that was most upsetting to me was when the rankings came out the following week after we beat Clemson and we were still where we were. And then the chairman of the committee said, it doesn't matter what happens this weekend on championship weekend. If a team isn't playing, their ranking is not going to improve. And I just, in my opinion, that was a very irresponsible statement to make and an irresponsible protocol to follow. Like, you're supposed to evaluate the entire season, and how you wouldn't watch championship weekend and then take a step back and say, okay, who are the 12 best teams? And you just watched Clemson win the ACC and you didn't even take the time to revisit South Carolina. If we don't get in, we don't get in, whatever. But to sit there and say that we're not even going to talk about it, I didn't understand it then, don't understand it now, and all I've learned is don't leave it in the committee's hands. So just win.
Well, It's almost like it doesn't make sense to me that they make that reveal, and it's so damn hard to move up. But by God, you lose.
It's easy to pull you down. We got six straight wins. We beat the ACC champion on the field. A&M's a top 10 team when we beat them. Missouri's a top 25 team, or at least when we beat them. And, you know, I get it. We lost head-to-head to teams, and you can make an argument. But to not sit there and even evaluate it, not just us, but – evaluate the whole ACC after championship weekend, evaluate the whole Big 12 after championship weekend, and see who beat who, but don't leave it in the committee's hands.
Hey, how much pride does it give you that I think you're the only coach that can come here and say you may have the best offensive player in the conference and the best defensive player in the conference? I think that's accurate. I know it doesn't really matter what we say in the offseason, but how much confidence does that give you going into the year to have players like that?
No, for sure. People that will ask me throughout the year, like, how are you going to be this year? And you want to be really good at quarterback, and we are. And you want to have, you know, somebody that can rush the passer, and we have that as well. So we've got a lot of key pieces that are returning, and those two guys are as good as anyone in the country. There's no question about it. And they're still young too, which is exciting. So we've got to be good around those guys. We lost a lot of production around Lenoris, but we've got some really talented guys returning on offense and some new guys coming in. And then defensively, obviously, Dylan did some great things last season, but our top four defensive tackles last year are now on NFL rosters. And the SEC Defensive Player of the Year playing on the other side of Dylan is now with the Chargers. So we've got to rebuild that defensive line in a lot of ways so Dylan can continue to take the next step and be great. But Dylan's got to do that on his own as well. But certainly anytime you have a guy that can affect the quarterback like he can, and then you have a quarterback that can affect games like Lenoris can, it is definitely a really good starting point, that's for sure.
Well, one thing I absolutely love about what your team is doing, especially you guys, is not only are you finding talent with players out here, but you're also doing with coaches. You know what I'm saying? Where it seems like every year South Carolina's got another coach that's going on to be a head coach elsewhere. Right. So what part of that? I know the kids and all that's very important, but this coaching system that you're kind of creating over there, how important is it to maintain that?
Yeah, huge. I appreciate you saying that too. Something we're proud of. And I think it's a few things. It's sometimes I think fans, like when a coach gets hired, it's all going to be like, hey, who's on his coaching staff? And if a fan maybe doesn't recognize the name of one of the coaches you hired, it's like, man, who are these bums that this guy's putting together? Well, you know, our initial coaching staff had Clayton White on it as our defensive coordinator, who was coming from Western Kentucky as their defensive coordinator. And I'm sure the average fan was like, man, what is this Beamer guy doing? He could have hired this guy, this guy, this guy, these name guys. Well, go hire the best coach, because coaching is coaching, and they just needed an opportunity at that level. And Clayton's come in as our defensive coordinator and did a great job. Or people were probably like, you know, why is he hiring? He's a special teams guy. Why is he hiring Pete Limbo from Memphis to come be the special teams coordinator? Well, he's a big-time coach, and now he's at Buffalo as a head coach. So I think it's that, the being willing to maybe not always hire the popular name, but hire the best coach. And then once they get there, empower them and support them and give them the ability to do their job. And I saw that from my dad growing up, his son as the head coach at Virginia Tech all those years. He did that with his coaches. You know, he hired good coaches. He held them accountable, but he let them do their job and not try and micromanage. And that's what I try and do, and excited for them, whether it be, you know, Dow Loggins going to App State or Jody Wright going to Murray State or Pete Limbo going to Buffalo, and then other coaches on our staff that have had opportunities that decided to stay. Certainly want them to be able to accomplish their goals, and Columbia is a great place to live, and South Carolina is a great place to coach, and I want to be able to see guys develop as coaches and then get a chance to go, you know, not leave for a lateral job, which guys aren't, but to leave for better opportunities, right. which I love them being able to. I was able to do it as an assistant coach and want to for them also.
Hey, speaking of Coach White, we heard a rumor that he was bragging that the offense didn't score a touchdown all spring on his defense. Can you confirm or deny that rumor?
I can't confirm or deny. I'm going to have to talk to Clayton if he was bragging about that as well. But, no, I'll say this. In college football, and you guys have been covering it long enough, defenses better be farther ahead than your offenses in the spring in a lot of ways. And if your offense is lighting up your defense, that's a bad thing. Now, I went to Oklahoma working for Lincoln Riley, and we had Kyler Murray and CeeDee Lamb, and we're like a dang – up and down the field. And I'm like, maybe this is the first time I've ever been around an offense that the defense can't stop. Is that good or bad as well in practice? But, no, we had some good competition in the springtime. We knew that Lenoris was going to be our quarterback, but we certainly wanted to develop the guys behind Lenoris as well. So we did a lot of that in the springtime. And there's a lot of new faces, but going back to your question about, like, coaches, it's like knowing the personalities of coaches. And there's a button that all you have to do is kind of, like, poke Clayton White a little bit, and then the competitive juices are going to get fired up more so than any coach on our staff. And he loves to compete, and we've got an offensive coaching staff that loves to compete. So it makes practices fun for sure.
I always love the family atmosphere, especially if you got a good coaching staff.
Yeah.
And one of the things that also I notice with a lot of coaches is they have these superstitions too, that they got to have maybe a certain meal, or they can't wash these socks or something like that. Is there anything like that that you do? Maybe a song you have to listen to before you get out of the car? Or?
Not really. Not really. I try and stay pretty consistent with my routine and not change win or lose. Maybe it's a sport coat that I wear to a game that if we lost, I'm not going to wear it again. Yeah. But I wore this to the North Carolina game 2 years ago and we lost. So I guess there's like a statute of limitations or whatever. So now we can start that over. But not really. I try and stay pretty consistent and don't have a lot of superstitions necessarily. Now, I think my wife and my kids, like during the game, they absolutely are. I'm obviously not with them during the game, but they've told me crazy stuff that if, you know, somebody is sitting in a seat that they're wherever they're sitting when we score, like they can't move the rest of the game and things like that as well. But for me, it's just pretty consistent routine, and maybe that superstition's within that, but probably not.
Has your boy got an offer yet? I noticed. Nah.
Well, he yes, but we bumped into James Franklin from Penn State about two summers ago at a restaurant over in Georgia. James offered him a scholarship. Dabo at Clemson has offered him a scholarship. And then we were at a Coach of the Year or Player of the Year thing back in February with Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame. So Marcus Freeman offered him as well. No. Granted, he hasn't done anything other than flag football at the age of 11, but he thinks he's got three offers right now, so awesome. I'm going to be calling these guys in about 4 years, too. Like, hey, y'all thought y'all were joking back in 23 or 24, 25, but I wasn't. But it's cool having him around and having that's him awesome. Be a part of the program and all of our coaches and their families.
Awesome. Hey, I know, last question I got for you, because I know your time is short, but and I know this is like not – coaches always say this is above my pay grade, yada, 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 but – when I think of South Carolina, I always think of playing Georgia. Mm-hmm. I think of playing Florida.
Yeah.
And we're from Tennessee. South Carolina, Tennessee was becoming a nice thing, too.
Yeah.
And I know last year was a hell of a season. But how weird was it that those games are not on the schedule? And have you, been told anything about those games?
Yeah. One, it was very weird, as you say. That we didn't play them. I think it was weird for us, weird for fans. I think it was their first time in the history of South Carolina being in the SEC that South Carolina didn't play those teams.
Right.
And it was weird. I know there's no more divisions, but we basically played the SEC West last season, and we're playing the SEC West this year as well. Haven't had any conversations, because right now the conversations are 8-game schedule, 9-game schedule, but want those to be back on. I mean, you think about it, being in South Carolina, you're close to Gainesville, you're close to Knoxville, you're Augusta's right on the border, or right in the middle of us in Athens as well. So want to play those teams because I know our fans love playing those teams, but we just play who it is above my pay grade. I go and play whoever they tell us to play when they tell us to, but certainly want to get those teams back on the schedule.
Last thing I've got, I did a list the other day. Coaches, first coach in the SEC to get an extension. You're at the top of that list. All right.
Man, I knew I liked you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.